Last case for argument, Tomanovich v. City of Indianapolis, Mr. Robbins.
Morning, Your Honor. My name is Mark Robbins. I'm here to argue the case on behalf of George Tomanovich against the City of Indianapolis and the Indiana Department of Transportation, or as we call it, NDOT. Your Honor, the issue this morning is whether the district court erred in granting summary judgment on behalf of the defendants on Mr. Tomanovich's claims under Title VII for retaliation and under Indiana statute governing blacklisting. Just as some brief background, Mr. Tomanovich worked for the City of Indianapolis for in excess of 20 years without receiving any negative performance evaluations. In July of 2001, he was appointed to the position of Administrator of Construction Services, essentially overseeing public works contracts for the City of Indianapolis.
Had his other positions been in that field, or had they been in other fields?
He was in always the field of public works, involvement in the Parks Department, et cetera.
But not necessarily working with the same people with whom he was working in this case.
Exactly.
This situation.
Right.
I see.
Right. And that in July of 2001, a individual named Mona Salam was appointed deputy director of the Department of Public Works Engineering Division, which is specifically where Mr. Tomanovich worked. And shortly thereafter, Mr. Tomanovich encountered difficulties which he perceived to be of a discriminatory nature. And
in what way were they discriminatory?
Well, Your Honor, initially, well, if I could just give you another piece of background information. Ms. Salam is from Egypt and is a Muslim. Mr. Tomanovich is, although born here in the United States, is a Serbian of national origin. During some initial meetings between the two, Ms. Salam informed Mr. Tomanovich that he and his staff would have to work on particular holidays because she did not necessarily recognize those as being holidays. For example, Thanksgiving, what I suppose we could call more traditional holidays that may have had religious origins but are now more...
Well, I don't understand. Well, I think Judge Ripple's question is to me, what does he think he was discriminated against?
By being...
It's not, you know, being made to work on Thanksgiving is not a form of invidious discrimination, is it?
You're right, Your Honor. However, he perceived it as discriminatory and complained about that. Now, it's not so much that...
Yeah, but you can retaliate against a person for making groundless complaints.
Correct, Your Honor, but...
Someone who says, I have a constant federal right not to work on Thanksgiving? What kind of stuff is that?
No, Your Honor, that's not... And that wasn't Mr. Tomanovich's complaint, necessarily.
Well, what was it, his complaint? That's what we're asking you.
Right.
What form of discrimination is he complaining about?
Initially, it was national origin and religious discrimination, Your Honor. However, that's not part of this case, unfortunately. Rather, it is the retaliatory measures that he perceived.
No, I understand. We're just getting to the So he claims that City of Indianapolis and Indiana Department of Transportation discriminate against Christians?
No, Your Honor, not necessarily.
What do they discriminate against? Serbians?
he perceived that Ms. Salam's national origin and her Muslim faith were the bases for the treatment that he received while working.
We don't usually think of the discriminator's ethnicity as the discrimination, right? You have to discriminate against someone for something. So that's what I'm asking you. Is he discriminated against, whether by her or by anyone else, because he's Christian, because he's Serbian, because he's old, because he's male, because he's white, or what?
Right. I would say Serbian, Your Honor, if we have to narrow it down to one particular issue.
She thinks that is what caused her to put negative comments and ultimately terminate?
Well, Your Honor, there was a series of events that took place. After he had complained about Ms. Salam's treatment, she issued a performance improvement plan to Mr. Tomanovich. Thereafter, even though he performed partially, at least, to her expectations in regard to the performance improvement plan, she nonetheless met with him once more to renew her issues with him after he had had filed with the EEOC a charge of discrimination. Then, following from that,
what did he say in his charge of discrimination?
He complained about, specifically, Your Honor, being retaliated against for complaining about his initial complaints based on...
Please. What did he say in his complaint to the EEOC?
That he had been improperly issued a performance improvement plan on the basis of his national origin.
Thank you.
The retaliation... is the city's non-comment, whatever you want to call it, basically not recommending him. Isn't that what we are at retaliation?
Ultimately, Your Honor.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we got here. We're
right
at this point.
They
called up, said we can't talk about it because there's some litigation. So they didn't say the guy didn't say anything good or bad about him, just said that. And that was retaliatory based on...
She gave his dates of hire... and then informed the state, the Department of Transportation, that litigation was pending, and therefore she would not answer any questions whatsoever on Mr. Tomanovich's job performance at the city. And yes, Your Honor, that ultimately is the very piece of evidence or crucial parting of the ways where both NDOT and the city, we believe, were retaliating against Mr. Tomanovich because he had filed a lawsuit against the city of Indianapolis. We believe, frankly, that there is a case of direct evidence of retaliatory treatment against both of the defendants or appellees.
What should they have said instead if there is litigation pending? And you're not supposed to, I don't know, whatever. That's what they said. What should they have said? They said he got bad performance ratings or what?
NDOT specifically requested information about his performance. Yeah. They could have provided 20 years worth of good evaluations and the negative evaluations that he received under Ms. Salam and leave it up to the state to make some sort of determination on whether to hire Mr. Tomanovich or not. The fact of the matter is that it was not a performance issue that ultimately NDOT made the decision not to hire Mr. Tomanovich, not based on performance.
You can't be serious in arguing that they should have given the negative evaluations.
Well, Your Honor, they could have given...
That would just give you another ground for suing.
Well, if
come up with something better than that.
Right, Your Honor. I mean, if they were asking of the city what was his performance like, and all they're really required to do is give a factual statement of what his performance was like, then that could possibly include information that we now would see as false or retaliatory.
Yeah, they're going to ask him, why did he leave? And he says, well, he's terminated. Then the next question, why?
Right.
And you think that would have been better than saying we can't say anything because there's litigation?
Well, Your Honor, they could have provided factual information, I believe, that other than strikes me, and I don't know, but if I'm informed that a potential employee has pursued litigation against me or another previous employer, then that would send up some sort of red flag.
It could have been if it wasn't getting paid for overtime or something else, just something rather methodical.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Clay? Or Ms. Clay, sorry.
Is there somebody else?
Good morning. As you know, there's 3 minutes that's reserved for the Indiana Department of Transportation, so I'll be taking 7 minutes for my argument. May it please the Court, first I would like to tell you why the trial court got this decision correct in favor of the City of Indianapolis. Then I'll tell you why Mr. Trevanovich's new arguments still do not work and survive the summary judgment that was issued. First of all, Mr. Trevanovich was unable to establish the prima facie case for a retaliation claim. Additionally, he relied on evidence that had been stricken as inadmissible hearsay. And in fact, in his brief that's submitted now, he still relies on that same evidence as though it's still in the record. And that evidentiary ruling has not been appealed or been disputed.
With respect to the city, the summary judgment, the city, you look at the indirect method by which he might have been able to prove his case. What do you have to show that he was not meeting the performance expectations of his employer?
Mr. Trevanovich made his own admissions, actually. He made admissions that he failed to attend a meeting that he was ordered to attend by a supervisor. He was actually warned that his failure to attend this meeting could result in his termination, and he decided that he didn't want to have a confrontation, so he chose not to attend. He also admitted that he attended seminars without prior approval, which was against policy, and allowed his staff also to attend those meetings. So he actually admitted to the disciplinary citations that were given to him.
And are those historically matters that for which one is discharged, especially given the long term of service that he had?
Well, the long term of service that he had, I don't know that was relevant in terms of his relationship with his new supervisor. He still had to meet the expectations of the supervisor that he had then. So, yeah, if you're not doing as you're told, and he had been given repeated chances to meet her expectations, he'd been putting on a performance improvement plan, he'd been given notice that he still had substandard performance, and he still chose to run his own course.
Suppose, in fact, she was ill-disposed toward him because of his ethnic background. Wouldn't there be a possibility that she raised the bar a bit with respect to him as opposed to her other supervisees?
Yes, if that was in fact that she did have a predisposition towards not favoring people of Serbian descent, then yes.
And but what does the record show with respect to that?
Nothing. The only thing the record shows is that she's of one nationality and he's of another.
Did he submit an affidavit which he indicated that she was predisposed to him in an adverse sort of way because of his ethnic background?
He submitted an affidavit that indicated the two different nationalities, I believe is what he said in the affidavit, and that these two nationalities had a history of discourse. Yes. Discord.
Well, by fair implication, isn't he saying he was her evaluation, her actions toward him are simply fueled by this discriminatory attitude? She wouldn't be doing this to another person?
Yeah, that's his allegation, yes. But that allegation fails for several reasons, primarily because he couldn't point to a similarly situated person outside of his nationality that was treated more favorably. The issue on appeal, however, is a little bit not within that scope. The issue on appeal, although it's kind of been expanded now, it seems like the appellant has gone beyond just the retaliation issues and has discussed the termination issues. The issue on appeal is whether or not he received a favorable or unfavorable reference because of his EEOC or his protected activity, and whether or not the city of Indianapolis blacklisted him to a prospective employer.
Well, that's the pending state claim, is it not, the blacklisting
yes,
claim?
Yes, the pending state claim is the state blacklisting claim. And with regard to the blacklisting claim, he failed to produce evidence in support of that claim as well, because the letter of the statute requires that he show that the city of Indianapolis made a false statement to Department of Transportation, when in fact all we did was provide dates of employment.
And I suppose your position would be you didn't say anything more because of the pending litigation, and you're not wanting to violate the statute by saying something that a trier of fact would later prove to be false.
Or that could be misconstrued. And as was appropriately pointed out, had we given the actual status of his termination, we'd be here, we'd still be here, because he would have sued us for giving negative information, I'm sure.
Thank you.
To the extent that he did not appeal the evidentiary rulings that were made at the trial court, much of the evidence, like I said, that he relies on now has been stricken from the record. All he has right now is suspicious timing as in regards to evidence to show retaliation. Primarily, he misses the fact, like I said, that there's a similarly situated person that was treated more favorably. He didn't identify this person or argue it in his lower court brief, and now he brings the name of a similarly situated, who he defines as similarly situated person, without any reference to affidavits or depositions or anything else to support a conclusion that this person is similarly situated. So because he's unable to meet the elements of a retaliation claim, his summary judgment this still should be upheld, because he has not met all those elements. In addition, like I said, he has expanded the scope now on appeal. The scope is just the retaliation issues, and the fact that he was terminated was not before the lower court. The fact that there were just that he alleges discord based on his national origin and religion was also not before the lower court once it reached the appeal stage.
Are you saying that the issue is confined to the retaliation based on the comment made of saying we can't say anything because it's under litigation?
Right.
That's the retaliatory issue
right.
before us. Is that correct?
Correct.
What about this underlying thing about why he was terminated and what she may or may not have said? Is that still on appeal?
No, it was, and actually, there's a footnote in his brief in the lower court that actually says the city did not illegally terminate Mr. Tomanovich, and that the issues are just the retaliation issues of whether or not he was given an unfavorable reference and whether or not he was not rehired because of his protected activity. So those issues kind of grew on appeal, and my submission would be that the appellant can't now recreate the record and bring in issues that were not before the lower court. His termination as retaliation was not an issue in the lower court. And I see that my time is
okay. Thank you, Ms. Clay.
Thank you.
So we'll hear from Ms. Barrow.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Mr. Tomanovich presented no direct or indirect evidence of retaliation by NDOT. His theory is that when NDOT attempted to obtain employment information from the city said, we will not respond because of litigation, and that NDOT then retaliated by saying, we will not employ you because of that litigation. He showed no evidence that NDOT had any idea what the nature of that litigation was, and he does not show that NDOT's reason for not hiring him, specifically the basic lack of any information from the city, were improper. The state law requires all state agencies to obtain employment information, including dates of hire, job descriptions, and whether performance was adequate. This information was not provided, and therefore the NDOT properly did not hire him. It had already rescinded the offer of employment based on his running for public office, which is against the law for NDOT engineers. Although he did withdraw his candidacy in the election for city council, NDOT did go ahead and attempt to go through his application to obtain information. NDOT was proceeding as if it wanted to hire him, but it was solely because they did not provide any information that NDOT did not make an employment offer. And for that reason, the district court properly granted summary judgment in favor of NDOT. And we would ask the court to affirm.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Barrow.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Robbins, how much time? Do you have any time? Well, we'll give you a minute if you have something interesting to say.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I'd like to address the argument that was just made by NDOT. NDOT argues that they rescinded the offer of employment to Mr. Tomanovich because he was a candidate for public office. However, as counsel just pointed out, he immediately withdrew from candidacy once he understood that that was something that he could not do and seek state employment.
Had he not been running for office, he probably would have been hired and wouldn't have gotten his profile raised, right?
Right, Your Honor. That was not the reason given by NDOT for refusing to hire Mr. Tomanovich.
It just put him off the course of being hired, and then further, then more things happened.
Briefly, because he contacted counsel for NDOT, counsel and inquired, is there anything else that I need to do? Are there any other hurdles in my way? And was told no. Ultimately, he gets a letter, however, from NDOT saying, we cannot offer you employment because the city, quote, refused to give us information, and therefore we're not offering you employment now. And it also says no offer of employment is forthcoming. And I see my time is up, but which Mr. Tomanovich interpreted as you need not apply any further with the state for employment.
Okay, thank you very much to all counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.
you're going to do that, make sure you got a
Thank you.